from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John Trumbull, we did it! Season 51 premiere! We're here! We're not queer, but we're here, so yeah. Get used to that.
Yes, yes. And hey, you know, since it's the start of a new season of SNL, welcome to anybody who, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, we appreciate you giving us a chance, tuning in and all that. And hopefully we can entertain you or enlighten you in some fashion or inform you or, I don't know, help pass the time while you're in the gym or doing your laundry or whatever the hell you do when you listen to podcasts. Yeah. I hope we can do that.
I hope we can be the constant noise in the background of whatever, you know, more important tasks you're doing in your day.
Yes, that's really all we're going for here. It's just like a low hum in the background.
Yes, white noise. That's us.
That's racist.
Wow. All right. Yeah. My father was white noise, I'll have you know, sir. So how could I be racist?
Okay. All right.
Some of my best friends are white noise.
Hey, I have a name.
Oh, shit. Wow. Zingaroo. You're good, sir. You're good.
Okay. All right. So, yes, if you're just tuning in, we're here. We're talking about Saturday Night Live, the season 51 premiere, episode 1 from October 4th, 2025, with the host Bad Bunny and the musical guest Doja Cat. So should we just dive in? Should we or no, wait, we should probably talk about some of the changes in the show, because this is the first show for the five new cast members, and we got some new SNL writers as well.
Yes, yes. So I mean, we've mentioned it before in past episodes. Five new cast members: Tommy Brennan, Ben Marshall from Please Don't Destroy, Jeremy Culhane, Veronica Slowikowska, and Cam Patterson, no relation. They've joined the cast, and I think just a few days before this premiere, they announced that they added several new writers, and a writer left. August White has left the show. And so we have a few new writers. We have Joe Sunday, who is one of the new faces in Just for Laughs. She was a comedian who I believe auditioned for the show, but they hired her on as a writer. Mm. We have Jack Bensinger, who's a comedian and a writer who works a lot with Sarah Sherman, and he toured as her opener for
another year. Oh, nice. Yeah, well, she was touring this summer, I know, so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he's an EP on Sarah's upcoming HBO special, which will be out in December, Sarah Squirm, Live and in the Flesh.
I find it so fascinating how she's like Sarah Sherman on SNL, but the rest of her comedy career, she's still sticking with the Sarah Squirm.
Yeah, I think it's a way to differentiate the two. Like, you know, it's almost like how, I guess, like when Eddie Murphy was a comic on, you know, he was still doing his dirty blue comedy on the stages and on the streets. But like on SNL, he wasn't as crazy raw. He was like a more an SNL NBC friendly version. So, like,
he was still Eddie Murphy in both places. I don't think her comedy is substantially different. I just find it interesting that she's using the two different names professionally, because I feel like, I mean, because she was only Sarah Squirm before she came on SNL, and I feel like Lorne or the network or somebody was like, we've never had a performer use an alias on the show, and we're not about to start now, so it's Sarah Sherman or nothing. I feel like it was an ultimatum, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like Paul Rubens had to be on as Paul Rubens, not Pee Wee Herman type of thing.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. We also have Maddie Wiener. Giggle. He's a comedian. He's got Just for Laughs, New Faces in 2021. Performs regularly at the Comedy Cellar in New York, and was on Tonight Show in 2024. We have Rachel Pegram, who wrote for a number of shows, including Killing It on Peacock. That's a show with Craig Robinson. She wrote on the Netflix show Blockbuster, which had Randall Park, and HBO Max's Harley Quinn, the DC character.
With Kaylee Cuoco doing the voice of Harley Quinn.
Yeah. So she wrote on that, and she performed in a few things, like Netflix's The Week Of and Mike Birbiglia's Don't Think Twice. Apparently she was in that as well.
Oh, and we have covered Don't Think Twice on the pod.
So. Yeah. So go check it out, guys.
Yeah.
We have Claire McFadden.
Who's on productive.com and on YouTube. So.
Yes, absolutely. Claire McFadden, SC alum, Second City main stage, toured with the National Company, was in Edinburgh Fringe Festival, San Francisco Sketch Fest. You know, she's done a number of things. And the one that interests me the most is Maxwell Gay and Tucker Floodman, who's a writing duo from the Harvard Lampoon. So, yeah, like, I feel like we haven't got any Lampoon guys in a minute on this show. I mean, the last one you could say was Colin Jost, but it does seem like it's been a minute since then.
I mean, well, Colin Jost has been on the show for quite a while. I mean, even before he started on Update, he was a writer on the show before that. And, you know, the Lampoon's given us other very notable people, like, Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. Franken, Al Franken.
Al Franken, yeah, okay.
Simon Rich, yeah, that's true. So yeah. We got some Lampoon boys up in here.
I mean, we always need some Ivy Leaguers on SNL, because, I mean, if we're not hearing from privileged white people, are we even doing a comedy show?
When will their voices be heard, John?
It's just not enough. Not enough.
Yes, please. Tell us more about how difficult it is to buy a tweed jacket with patches on the shoulders.
Oh, I mean, I'm going jacket shopping tomorrow, so I'll tell you all about my trials and tribulations with that next week.
Yes. Wait, shoulders or elbows? I always get the two mixed up.
Well, shoulders are the things near your head and your neck.
Oh,
elbows are those things in the middle of your arms.
Got it. So, I meant
holding my elbow up to the camera right now.
I see it.
Our podcast listeners can't see it, but this is an elbow. This is a shoulder.
Very nice. So, wow, you passed.
I mean, nominally, these are still shoulders. They're not really. Unlike a man, they would be, but yeah.
Wow. So yes, those are the new writers, and So let's just dive into the show. We'll give our thoughts on this as we go, because I have a few thoughts.
Yes, I have even fewer.
Wow. All right. Wow. I guess that's...
So, I mean, yeah, we got the Pete Hegseth cold open. Starting out with, like, one of the new cast members.
Yeah, Jeremy Culhane.
Jeremy Culhane. And, you know he's not going to be on camera for very long, but still it's kind of cool that he's kicking off the show on his first show. That's got to be exciting for him.
Yeah. Look at him. He's doing it. Look at me, Ma. I made it.
I think James Austin Johnson did the same thing on his very first show, if I remember correctly. So,
I think they gave him so long ago. I feel like they gave him the Biden impression, right? Or something.
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to go back and double check, but I just remember that he kicked off the show, and we commented on it at the time.
Right. So. So basically, the cold open is talking about the time Pete Hegseth, our I don't know, Secretary of War or whatever he is.
Yeah.
And
let me just say, that name is so fucking dumb.
It really is. It's like, I want to be named something badass.
Yeah.
Secretary
of Defense, that sounds wimpy. We're going to start some shit, so I'm the Secretary of War.
I'm the Master of War. Call me that. That's my gamer handle now.
Just let him call himself like General Von Badass or something. Let's go all the way with this thing.
Yes, General.
Anyway, so, he was addressing the generals this week in a speech that went over beautifully. I mean,
yes, 5 stars, no notes, everything went off swimmingly.
Yeah, no complaints. Yes. And we got a white dude in the Trump administration. Who else are we going to have play him except Colin Jost?
Of course, the white of all whites.
Yeah. I think that's what it says on his business cards. Colin Jost, the white of all whites.
On a white business card.
Yes, yeah.
In white ink.
It's bone.
Yes, exactly. So Colin Jost comes in and does some acting. I felt like there's like the most non-Colin Jost behind the Weekend Update desk segment.
This was like a really nice performance by Jost, I think. I thought he did a really nice job with it. He doesn't act on the show much, but when he does a nice job. I mean, I think he knows his lane. So, and he knows how he comes off. I'm not going to say that's what he is. I'm saying that he knows how he looks and how he can come off. So he steers into that. And I think that's a good call from him.
Yeah. He's aware. He has self-aware. Mm-hmm. He has self-awareness, and I respect that.
He was wearing a remarkably tight suit.
Yeah.
Just, like it's one of those suits that's so tight. It's like, how can you fucking breathe in that thing, man?
He really wants people to know that he's been working out.
Yeah. I don't know if that was specifically parroting Hegseth or if that was just like a Joe's costume department thing, but I was just like, that is a tight suit.
That thing was painted on him, baby.
Yeah. But he's like, you know, talking about, he's saying like, hey, our military is gay as hell. And I'm going to remake it so that we have hot, shredded, hairless men who are definitely not gay.
Yeah, no fat chicks. If you're a fat dude, you better be funny as hell.
Yeah. And
just all the things that would be jokes in a right and just world, but this is actual reality.
The dude
said things pretty similar to this in, like, IRL.
It's so tough to parody reality when reality is so absurd and so stupid to begin with.
Yeah.
And speaking of absurd and stupid, we have James Austin Johnson coming in as Trump to interrupt, because why should SNL use a new idea for a cold open? It's only the season premiere.
Yeah. The big shakeup is here, guys. The big shakeup. We're going back to the same cold open we did 87 times last year.
Yeah. I mean, what is there new to say about it? It's like, oh, the cast member freezes and James Austin Johnson comes on as Trump and he's like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I mean,
his impression is still great. And, you know, he will say some things that'll get a chuckle out of me. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know, like SNL 51 should have called it at 50. So sad to see something get so old and confused yet still demand your undivided attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good line. I just wish they have a new slant or a new take on Trump or comment on the Trump administration without showing him every damn time.
Yeah.
And I bet James Austin Johnson would like to play more characters on the show
than
just Trump every week, too. And something that struck me when I was looking at him is James Austin Johnson really not fat enough to play Trump.
No.
If it were up to me, I would put him in like a Jabba the Hutt style fat suit. Like, let's like really exaggerate him. Let's have his necktie go down to his knees. Let's exaggerate him to the point of absurdity.
Yes.
And just like really go after the guy, really get under his skin, because you know he's watching this stuff and you know what drives him up the wall. So let's go all the way with this thing.
Yeah. Just put a red necktie on an orange beanbag chair. And
right.
Call that the president.
Yeah, have James JAJ like just dub in the voice, or just show footage of Jabba the Hutt, or put him in an extensive fat suit. He does it at the top of the show. We could do a thing, and we could do an extensive makeup thing at the top of the show. I'm assuming, because I know all the intimate details of how SNL is put together.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and you know, like maybe keep him out of the first sketch or the monologue. So he has time to get out of that so he can play other stuff. But, you know, we could do that. They could do that. Like, I want to see them just go harder and go, you know, just do more. Just, like, up it. Plus it up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they had, like, a couple of jokes I thought went a little kind of. Like, when he brought up the Riyadh Comedy Festival, which
is
a big deal in the comedy circles.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't know about that, that's, like, this comedy festival that they did in Saudi Arabia. And a lot of big names in comedy went and did that. Like Louis C.K. was there. Jessica Curzon was there. Kevin Hart was there. Dave Chappelle was there. Sam Morrill was there.
Pete Davidson, SNL.
Pete Davidson was there. Yeah, an SNL person. So, and, you know, like some of them I was very disappointed by. Some of them I was just like, yeah, that tracks.
That's about right.
And some people are like, I've never heard of them, so I have no opinion. I have no idea if that's disappointing for them or not. But
anyway, JJ, as Trump was saying, like, yeah, we love the Saudis because they like to we love the Saudis because they love the Saudis journals and journalists in half. And they got groans from the audience, like, Jesus Christ.
It's a tough thing to make a joke out of.
It is. It's like, ooh. You know, I'm not like one for clutching pearls and whatnot. But yeah. even I was like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. It's
but
we briefly had Mikey as Brandon Carr. You know, yeah. basically just doing a walk on thing.
Coming out to Somebody's Watching Me by the great Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have Trump thanking the SNL crew for their votes, telling them the crew to keep an eye on Marcello. I feel like at this point I kind of said it all to say.
They're not really doing anything new here. So yeah. I feel like, you know, I mean, it's tough to find anything new to say about it. Because, yeah, we've seen this many times before. It doesn't bode well for the season or the episode in general that they don't have a fresh idea for their first sketch back for season 51.
Yeah, definitely didn't get me in the mood to get. It didn't pump me up for the rest of the episode. I was like,
I was not pumped up. I was not Hans and Franz.
They did not pump you up.
Was it weird for you seeing in the opening credits, like, you know, it's the same beginning as season 50, which kind of surprised me because I was thinking like, oh, maybe they'll shoot a new one for season 51. They usually hang on to their openings for a couple of years. But with the cast departures, I was thinking maybe they're going to shoot a new one. But yep. But we're seeing the same one. It's just Heidi and Ego and Longfellow are no longer in it.
And Emil. Yeah, I thought they would have shot. Yeah, I thought they would have shot a new one too. But I was actually kind of surprised that they didn't. Yeah. I guess they just edited around it and edited in the new guys.
Which is kind of a shame because like the season 51 opening directed by our friend Mike Diva, it flowed so well because it really flowed from one cast member's introduction into the next.
Yeah.
And I love it, and so I kind of hate to see it broken up the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, like you're seeing like Sarah driving the bus, but we don't see Ego on top of the double-decker bus before that. So it's just like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a little ramshackle, but it still looks beautiful. But yeah. It's,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it is still gorgeous to look at, and I'm glad that we have a variation of it for season 51 because it's far and away like my favorite SNL opening now.
Yeah, I would say so. I think before that, I was really a fan of the black and white one in the 80s, like with Dennis Miller and Dana Carvey.
Arty. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, I got a kick out of that. But yeah, I think this one might edge it out slightly.
Yeah, yeah. This kind of quickly became my favorite.
For sure. Monologue.
Bad Bunny monologue. You know, he comes out, he's talking about, you know, it's his second time hosting. He says Marcello is nervous because Lorne has a new favorite Latino.
Ha ha.
And we got John Hamm in a cameo as Juan Jamon.
Juan Jamon.
Juan Jamon. And we see him in like footage of Bad Bunny shows. We see like John Hamm just kind of partying up, living his best life. And then, because it's SNL, and I assume John Hamm lives within a short distance from the studio, he's in the audience, and we're in the same outfit. Yep. We're in a bucket hat and a Hawaiian shirt, and just...
Yep.
Yeah.
Living the life. Bucket hats
John
are out
Hamm,
of my...
I mean, yep. Yeah, that guy's just got to have... He's got it going on.
Just bucket hat, orange sunglasses, surrounded by beautiful women. That's...
Mm-hmm.
That's the high life, my friend.
He's married, isn't he? Isn't he a married dude?
He is, yes. I believe he just got married recently.
Oh, just recently. Okay. I didn't know if he was like one of those people who's been with his wife forever or what.
No.
I know so little about John Hamm's personal life.
I think he did have a girlfriend, like a long-term girlfriend, but then they broke up and then he got married to some woman.
Some rando. He's just like, hey, you're kind of cute. Here's a ring.
You, come over here. You.
Yeah. Hi, I'm John Hamm. Yes, I accept. I wasn't proposing, but okay.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say, you know, talking about the Super Bowl and how happy he is about it. He seems like everybody's happy about it.
He's been recently announced to do the halftime show, and of course the Fox News people are up in arms about it.
Yeah, because we can't have some foreigner doing his Latino musicalins in our American footballs.
Yeah, first of all, Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
Thank you.
Secondly, he's an incredibly popular musician. And thirdly, lots of non-U.S. citizens have done Super Bowl halftime shows.
Yeah, Rihanna.
Ever hear the fucking Rolling Stones?
Yes, Rolling Stones. Rihanna, she's from Barbados.
Yeah, exactly. Hasn't Paul McCartney done the halftime show? Surely he has, right?
He must have.
Yeah.
He's like the most popular musician in the world.
Yeah.
In the history of our lifetimes.
But he did a cute thing with where they had a cut together all the Fox News hosts and they were all saying, Bad Bunny is my favorite musician and he should be the next president.
Yeah.
Just that sort of cutting together. Like, you remember that Simpsons episode where Homer was accused of harassing the babysitter? You know, sweet candy.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like that.
All roads lead back to the Simpsons.
No, Mr. Simpson, don't come at me with that.
Oh, classic Simpsons. I love it. But then he gives a part of his speech, his monologue totally in Spanish.
He does.
And
yes.
He does. And I found out, somebody translated it. So he says, en español, I'm very excited to be doing the Super Bowl, and I know that people all around the world who love my music are also happy, especially all the Latinos and Latinas across the world and here in the United States, all those who have worked to open doors. It's more than an achievement for myself. It's an achievement for all of us. It shows our footprint and our contribution to this country that no one will ever be able to take away or erase.
Oh, well, that's like, nice. Yeah, just like that's really general... nice. When I was watching the replay on Peacock, the subtitles just said foreign talk down below.
Oh, shit.
Which I feel that was wrong.
I don't know if you're joking or not, I hope.
I am joking. But
thank God.
Like, usually, whenever I'm watching, a DVD or a Blu-ray, and a lot of times I have subtitles on, it usually just goes like speaking foreign language, even when it's like something really simple, like when they're speaking French and it's like "we," it's just like speaking foreign language.
What could that mean?
Yeah, wow. But I liked how when Bad Bunny finished that, he was like, "Yeah, and if you don't know what I just said, you have 4 months to learn."
Oh, so, tell him, son!
Snap!
Bam! Bad Bunny.
So yeah. Did you like the monologue?
I thought it was okay. Charming. Yeah, he's charming enough. Yeah. I think this is like the second time I believe he said he hosted the show.
This is the second time he's hosted. Yeah. Although he's had like I think the cameos here and there. He was in the 50th briefly. I guess I should like put my cards on the table early on. I didn't think he was a very good host the first time around.
Okay. Did that change the second time around, or?
I wasn't enthused about him returning as a host because I don't think he was. I didn't think the show he hosted was very good, and I didn't think he was all that great of a sketch performer. Like, I don't really care about how famous or not famous a host is. I just want them to be funny, and versatile, and like do a lot of stuff and be game. And he was game. He did a lot of stuff, but I still don't think he was very good. And, also because English is not his first language, that is a bit of a barrier.
Yeah.
So.
No, I,
I'm not saying like, his English isn't good enough to be on the show. His English is a fuck ton better than my Spanish. So.
See.
But it's still at times it like throws the pacing off and stuff, and I felt like that kind of continued on for the show tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll put my cards on the table as well, sir. I would agree with you for the most part. Like, I know, I know he's a likable person. He's like a international star. He sells out stadiums and arenas everywhere. He pretty much bolsters the Puerto Rican economy whenever he does shows.
Yeah,
there.
True.
And like he's and he's been in. Acting in a lot of movies recently. He's in two movies this year. He's a Happy Gilmore 2 and the Darren Aronofsky film called Stealing.
Mm.
But as far as sketch comedy goes, I think we'll talk about it. But yeah, like the first three sketches.
Yeah, I feel like it's not his wheelhouse. And it feels like this is a booking that was made, A, because he's like really super popular. And I totally get that. You want a big person for the season premiere. And two, because he got... along with the people at SNL, really.
Yeah. especially Marcelo, because like as soon as I saw he got, as soon as I saw he was going to host, I was like, Marcelo's going to be all over this episode.
Yeah, I mean, those two are peas in the pod. So yeah,
but yeah, I mean, the first three live sketches, it's like up to him to anchor it, and I don't think he quite.
I don't think he was quite up to the job. Like, okay, let's talk about the first sketch, Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
And it's, I think it's on YouTube, it's just Jeopardy with Bad Bunny. Getting real creative with the titles. and it's not, you know, it's not the Jeopardy that Will Ferrell used to do with a very exasperated Alex Trebek. It's not Black Jeopardy that, that Keenan hosts. It's just Jeopardy. And we've got Andrew Dismeeks playing Ken Jennings. We got Keenan as Lucas, but he pronounces it Luckass.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And they just keep calling him Luckass throughout the whole sketch.
Yeah.
Get it? Because Lucas, Luckass. It's funny.
And our other contestant is new cast member Veronica Slobakowska. I hope I'm saying that correct.
Slobakowska,
It's going to take me a few weeks to get the new cast members' names down. I'm bad with names normally. Like, just ask Derek over here.
Hey, wait a minute. I think you're talking about me.
It's Derek, right?
Sure.
Okay.
It's pronounced Duroc.
And then we have Bad Bunny as Duke, who is in last place. He's got, like, negative 18K.
Yeah.
And it quickly emerges that the problem is he's not giving the answer in the form of a question. That classic Jeopardy mistake.
Yeah. Like he, when they ask a question or the answer, when they give an answer, he knows the answer, but
the correct answer. Yeah.
The correct answer, but he keeps forgetting to form it in a form of a question. And that confuses.
Yeah.
That's basically the gist of the whole sketch,
which I don't think is that funny of a premise.
It's not really.
Yeah.
Like, so, I think this is like our first issue, because like it's a premise that's not that funny to begin with.
Right.
So it really depends on you know, a cast member.
The performances
and somebody that can kind of make hay of a, you know, a lackluster premise.
Right.
And it's the fact that it's Bad Bunny who's like kind of the main focal point of anchoring this whole thing and making it go. Somebody who's not really doesn't come up in the sketch comedy world.
Yeah.
The sketch is already getting off to like...
He's not really up to the task of carrying the sketch, I think.
Yeah. So
it doesn't, you know, like towards the end, he gets a question right where he's, you know, he's going on a rant about how confused he is. And he says like, what is the who? And that turns out to be the answer to the question to the answer. It was just because it was like, oh, it was a band that was formed in 1964 in England, and they used to be known as this.
The Detours,
thank you.
And like, he just doesn't understand. Like, I don't understand, like, you say, who is what? When is where? What is the who?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it. Yeah, that's right. What is the who?
Yeah, so it's like that other thing we've seen in a million game show sketches of the person wins by accident. Ha, 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 ha. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
it's not a lot new here, really.
Yeah, it's not a strong premise. The performances are kind of,
you know, we're falling back on the crutch of silly names with the Lucas character that Keenan's doing.
Yeah,
I mean, Keenan's doing his usual eccentric guy thing.
Yeah,
I mean, did Veronica have much to do? I can't really recall.
Not really.
Yeah, not much. Dismukes doesn't really have a take on Ken Jennings. Maybe that'll develop in time if he does this again. But Ken Jennings is a tough guy to parody because there's not a lot to lock on to.
Yeah, he's a bit of a manila envelope.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's fine as a host of Jeopardy, and I enjoy him when I watch. But
it's not too much to glom onto for a proper depiction of.
Yeah.
Already I'm also surprised this is like the first sketch of the night, because this was like, all right.
They like putting the game show sketches up top.
They love their game show sketches up top.
They do. And you know, I've said this many times before. I get it, because a game show sketch gives you an instant structure. It gives you an instant beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
You know, if it's a show like Jeopardy, people are familiar with Jeopardy and how it works, so you don't have to do a lot of legwork there.
Yeah.
I get all that.
It's an easy way to start the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was like, eh.
Yeah. All right, move on to our pre-tape, yes. Chat GPTO.
Right. So this one, we see Chloe Fineman as the spokesperson for it. For ChatGPT, of course, you know, the hot new thing that all the kids are into these days.
Right.
But sometimes you want your ChatGPT to be more authentic and be more direct. So that's where you get ChatGPTO, where you talk to a Latino uncle.
Yep.
So, and it's basically Marcelo and Bad Bunny as, you know, old aging Latino uncles.
And giving out all sorts of misinformation.
Yeah, you know, we see Mikey asking him, "What should I get my wife?" And of course, Marcelo's like, "Hey, let me see a picture of your wife." And so he sends a picture, and of course, he leers at the picture, and then Bad Bunny leers at the picture, you know, mumbling to themselves. I heard the word "culo" in there, which in the Spanish world means behind or ass. So you can imagine what they're saying.
So they were commenting on her hindquarters.
Yes, see. There you go.
They did say that the big advantage of ChatGPTO is that it's 40% louder than the nearest competitor.
There you go.
So
yeah, I think we see them playing dominoes at one point, just screaming as they slammed out dominoes.
Yeah.
I was like, okay,
it's all right.
Yeah, there's a few good visual gags. Like at one point, somebody asked ChatGPTO to draw them design a company logo for them, and he like hand draw some ratty logo on a past due bill, and he shows it up. It's like, all right, that's something. And I think one guy, I think it was Jeremy Culhane, asking ChatGPTO for like, you know, a good icebreaker for this first date he's in, and ChatGPTO tells him to take a Hall cough drop and put it in your mouth, and when you go down, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised they got
that. You put it in your mouth, and then you're like, blow on, yeah. That's.
I was like, whoa. All right.
We are airing late at night, aren't we?
Wow. I mean, that is something I've always heard, though. But I thought it was a breath mint, but I don't know. The different strokes are different folks.
I think it's an urban myth, probably, but I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. My college buddy said this.
I've never been curious enough to try.
You never pop in a certs and see where the night takes you?
Who knows? Yeah. Just Mentos and a Diet Coke and then go nuts.
Yeah. The fresh maker.
Yeah. I was not too excited about this. I was just like, oh, okay, well, this is what we're going to get a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, the, you know, ChatGPTO, you know, play on words. It kind of reminded me of, you remember from the Steve Carell episode with the GPS, but it's voiced by, like, you know, drag queens, the GPS?
No, okay. I do not remember that at all.
So you made me say GP yards for nothing. Oh, I see.
I did. Yeah. So this was my clever trap.
Yeah.
But, get you canceled.
Damn it. Oh. But yeah, no, it's one of those things, like, once you think of the name, it's like all the jokes are just kind of in the name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Really. So like they came up with the name and then they wrote the sketch around the name. I see.
That's what this kind of feel, that they came up with ChatGPTO and it's like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then they just kind of. You know, and also it's like...
Here are some wacky things my uncle used to say, yeah.
Yeah, it's just what Latino... I don't know, we also see sort of Marcelo leaning on the over-the-top Latino character that he's kind of...
Yeah, that's a big thing for...
He does that a lot.
Marcelo's main thing, yeah.
Yeah. Which is
why I've honestly gotten a little tired of Marcelo, because there's not a whole lot of variety to what he's doing on the show still.
Yeah, he's... I mean, I was hoping... maybe this season could be the season where he like branches out and shows he can do different things, but he kind of leans on his go-tos and a little bit too much. And like,
yeah,
I was like, oh, dude, you got to show me something, man. Like, you're going to the same well.
I don't want to go so far as to call him lazy, but I feel like he's been kind of rewarded for not having a real wide range.
Yeah.
you know, because the character he does with the espresso tune.
Oh, Domingo.
Domingo, thank you. I was blanking on the name Domingo.
How could you blank on names, Domingo? Folks. Oh,
you know, yeah, like Domingo was such a breakout character for him, and I feel like he's been just he's I don't know if he's expected to stay in that lane or if he's just chosen to stay in that lane, but it's just like I want to see more in your bag of tricks, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Just you know, show us what else you can do, man. We're mm-hmm. rooting for you, Marcella. We want to believe.
Yeah.
Next sketch we got the donor.
The donor. We got Sarah and Chloe as a couple. They're in a restaurant. They've decided they want to have a baby. They ask Andrew Dismukes to be their donor, as you do, because I mean,
of course.
Look at him. I mean, you want that DNA to continue on to the next generation.
Yeah. That Dismukes DNA.
Yeah, Dismukes DNA. You want that all over you. You want that all up in
oh
you.
Oh my God, John. great Scott.
So, you know, Dismukes is like, oh, gee, this is a big decision. Can I think about it? And Bad Bunny is another patriot on the right in the restaurant, Alberto, who says he volunteers to do it if Dismukes is not up for the job.
Yeah, so, and that's kind of it.
And yeah. He's an odd-looking guy because he's got, like, this bowl haircut and he's got the sunglasses and he's wearing a black sleeveless tee and just, he looks like a real sketchy kind of guy, so.
Yeah, and, you know, and, yeah, see, oh, boy. I'm trying.
You don't have to be nice, Darren. It's good. It's cool. If you didn't like it, say you didn't like it.
I'm not trying not to sound like a hater, John.
Let the hate flow through you.
No! Yeah. I want to be nice!
Yes. Let the hate flow through you. Oh. Come to the dark side, Darren.
No. Get away from me, Gollum. it's just that, like, this sketch all right, earlier I talked about how he's just not good at sketch comedy, and this is, this was a clear example of that. He was, like, kind of missing a lot of his cues, and, like, I don't know.
There were, like, a lot of long stretches of silence from the audience. I didn't feel like the sketch was going over in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, the premise is, first of all, the premise is pretty thin. Like, just some weird guy is like, I'll give you my stuff if he won't give me.
It's a sketch premise that's really predicated on the performances.
Yeah, again, it's another sketch with a very thin premise, so the performers really got to elevate it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They didn't quite do it. And it's, I don't know, there's just like a lot of times when he was trying to deliver his lines or hit the marks, hit the beats.
Where yeah, he's like, and he's just like a shade or two off.
Yeah.
Like, and it throws the rhythm off. I feel like that happened a few times.
No, it absolutely did. You can feel the energy kind of dip down whenever he was talking. Yeah. And he wasn't really, because he was like trying to figure it out live in mid-sketch, trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I was like, dude, this is what rehearsals are for. Come on, my guy. We got to pick it up.
I mean, he is a professional performer, but this is not the type of performance that he does. So you do have to grade him on a bit of a curve, but, you know, still.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, we've seen musicians come on and just, like, kill it. I mean, Justin Timberlake is probably the classic example of that.
Ariana Grande, I thought, was really good.
Ariana Grande, she was really good. I mean, there are others.
Yeah.
I can't recall their names right now, but there are others.
And the rest.
And the rest. The professor and Marianne. They both did wonderful jobs in SNL.
Remember when the professor hosted? He was great.
Yeah, yeah. Russell Johnson. I mean, gone too soon.
R.I.P. But yeah, like this, like, so the sketch basically ends with, you know, Dismukes consulting his fiance and saying they'll be happy to be.
He steps out for like 2 minutes and then he comes back and he's like, yeah, my fiance's cool with it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, and also in that time we get Keenan as another one of his quirky characters saying, well, if he doesn't want to do it, I'll do it. And like so we see both Bunny and Keenan as two oddball eccentric characters, you know, both offering their stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, and the joke with Keenan's character is he is apparently a gay man. He's like, yeah, I'll take it. Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'll take his stuff if you two.
Yeah, I'll take his stuff, you know.
If you two don't want his stuff.
Yeah.
And so then Chloe and Sarah and the Smiths leave, and
they're like the voices of reason. They're like, no, we're not going to do this. You two are total strangers. We're not going to do this because it's weird and it's creepy and all this. And then finally we have Marcello come in as Bad Bunny's long lost son in a parody of the Sopranos ending, because when Bad Bunny introduced himself, he was like, little about me. I love the ending of the Sopranos. I thought it was perfect.
And he mentioned that so they could have this ending where they play mm-hmm. Don't Stop Believing, and Marcello comes in dressed as Bad Bunny's character.
And then it abruptly cuts to black, just like the end of The Sopranos. Spoilers for The Sopranos, I guess.
You've had
like something like 10 years.
It's been decades.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it by now, you were never going to watch it.
This is true. Yeah.
But the donor, pretty weak.
Yeah.
Pretty weak. I'm trying not to sound like a dick. I swear. I'm trying to be nice.
Look, if we didn't like it, we didn't like it. We got to be upfront about that.
That's true.
We got to be truthful. Otherwise, we're like, you know, Jimmy Fallon people who are like, oh my God, this is so great. This is the funniest thing ever. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And
yeah,
I don't want to be that.
Yeah. He's like a golden retriever. We're not golden retrievers.
We are not. We are not. We're somewhat temperamental other breeds of dogs. I don't know what breed of dog I would be offhand.
Maybe a sheepdog, I'd say, for you.
A sheepdog? Well, it's a lot of hair.
Bulldog, because you have a lot of medical conditions. Yeah. And I have, I don't know.
You know, like seem aggressive at first, but very loving once you get to know me. Yeah.
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 And I don't know, what kind of dog? Maybe a boxer or something?
I don't know. I see you sort of like whatever breed Rolf was on The Muppet Show.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what's up.
I see you as like a Rolf type dog, whatever breed that might be.
Just playing the piano and tickling the ivories.
You're a Muppet dog, I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Okay. All right. And next, we got K-pop Demon Hunters.
Okay. So before we start with this, are you familiar at all with K-pop Demon Hunters?
I have heard of K-pop Demon Hunters. I know it is a thing. I know it is a popular thing at the moment. I know it's like in the zeitgeist.
Okay.
It is not a thing I've watched. I don't think it is a thing that is targeted towards me. And that's fine. Not every bit of entertainment has to be for me.
Okay. All right.
So what about you? What's your familiarity with K-pop Demon Hunters?
Because I was just wondering if this is something you'd heard of or you knew about.
So
this is something I heard about over the summer. So my wife and I decided to watch because she's really been into like K dramas and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
And
you have a base level of familiarity that I did not.
Yeah, yeah. And then we watched it, and it's really we enjoyed it. It's animated by the same studio that did the Spider-Verse movies.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, and it's basically, I mean, what it's about, it's basically in the title, like a K-pop band, three girls, they also fight demons with their music and weapons.
Right. Okay. So like sort of like a cross between Powerpuff Girls and Scott Pilgrim, something like that?
Powerpuff Girls meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Got it.
Like that.
Yeah, that was basically my understanding of it.
It's a huge hit. It's a fun movie. Genuinely good songs, very good catchy songs. Mm-hmm. And I think this is like the biggest hit Netflix has ever had. I think it's like gotten the most viewings out of anything they ever put out. I know, like, on the soundtrack for this movie,
bigger than Tiger King, bigger than that chess show that I didn't watch.
Believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Bigger than that. I know four of the songs from this movie have hit, like, the top 10 Billboard charts.
Now, is it a movie or a series?
It's a movie.
It's a movie, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like, it's won some awards. And it's really become like a huge phenomenon. And most watched, according to this, Netflix announced that it was the platform's most watched original animated film of all time. So they're gonna put sequels and everything into this. And
yeah, because I mean, that's the other thing about SNL, especially in the season premiere. We have to comment on every possible news story and every possible trend over the summer. even if it's a thing from like 3 months ago at this point.
Yeah, I mean, so that's my main gripe with this sketch, because it is, it is, you know, trending the sketch. It's all the trending topics that happened.
It really is. I couldn't fit it anywhere else in the show. Okay, so we got Sarah and Chloe again, still in another restaurant sketch. A little repetitive from the donor, but okay. Yeah.
They're even sitting in the same spots.
They are. We really should have changed this in the blocking or something.
They're sitting in the exact same seats.
Are they the same couple? I don't know.
Like, that is wild.
We got Mikey Day in there. We got Bad Bunny as the fourth, and they're apparently all friends, and they're catching up and seeing like how their summers were, and they're talking movies. And Bad Bunny's character, he really likes K-pop Demon Hunters, and like to the exclusion of like all else.
Right.
So
yeah, that's basically it. Like, he's really into K-pop Demon Hunters, and the others haven't seen it or not really into it. Mm-hmm. And that he's angry at them for not being into K-pop Demon Hunters.
Right, because he's like so eager to talk about it, and they're like talking about what's going on in their lives. Like, Sarah's character starts saying, "Well, it actually wasn't a good summer for me. I'm not doing so hot."
Yeah, I was on the Epstein list.
Yeah. And it turns out she was on a JetBlue flight that just had a connection on Epstein Island. That was very funny. I liked that. Mm-hmm. Chloe's character later, she reveals that she wrote the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was ages ago. And I looked it up. That was in freaking July. That was like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares anymore?
They couldn't comment it on it because they were on a break. So they got to comment it here because that's what we do.
You know what, SNL? Like, if you're on hiatus for the entire summer, you can just let some stories go.
Yeah. Like, we've done that.
We don't need you to comment on every single thing that comes down the pike, you know?
Yeah, it's okay to let some things go by the wayside. Yeah, you don't have to comment on something, especially if you don't have, like, a good take on it or anything really to say about it. It's
just, right. Otherwise, you're just mentioning it because it's like, and then the audience goes like, oh, yeah, that's a thing I sort of remember, I guess. Yeah, there was that quote-unquote controversy about Sydney Sweeney and the jeans ad.
Yeah. But yeah.
You know, we had that. We had the Cracker Barrel logo thing, and then it comes out later on that it was like all driven by bots anyway, so it wasn't even a real story to begin with.
Nope.
You know, like Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson weren't really dating, apparently.
Oh, Easter Bunny isn't real.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We just are in this weird cycle. We always get outraged over this fake stuff, and heinous real stuff is happening that we don't get outraged enough by.
Yeah, no, you're very, it's very true. Like, it's exhausting.
And then this had a weak ending too, we had the real band or the real voices.
Yes,
of K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, the real Huntrix, because Bad Bunny's character is like daydreaming about the band singing the song. So, you know, we see the actual singers of the K-pop Demon Hunters sing their big hit songs. And then we see Bowen come out as one of the Saja boys, who sings another song that's in the K-pop Demon Hunters.
See, this is the type of sketch I think it only really works if you are familiar with or if you're a fan of K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah. And
I'm not really. I was just like, oh, okay. It reminded me when, you remember when Gangnam Style was a big thing and they had Psy make a cameo? And you know, he came on and he got a big applause because it was like the real guy, and that was like one of the first big pop culture things that I like. That train just left me at the station. So I was just like, oh, okay, I guess it's a big deal that this guy who I don't recognize is on the show. So
but then Bowen comes out as one of the Saja boys, and he sings the Soda Pop song, which is another big hit off of that movie, and then find that Sarah's actually a demon, so they need to fight her, and then
she's drooling pile, and
Sarah, regular Sarah Scorn stuff.
Yeah, and what? There's a hideous makeup effect? I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. So then to fight her, they have the singers come out from backstage and they sing a song, and everybody sings and dances, because that's how you end a sketch.
This was a sketch I really felt like Bad Bunny had a very halting delivery in this sketch in particular.
Yeah.
I feel like that killed all the momentum.
Yeah. It's a thing he's done before where, like, you know, he takes a minute to get out the joke. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it slows down the momentum. It slows down everything in the sketch. You all got to wait for him to...
Look, he's performing sketch comedy, which is not his native performance. Yeah. He's not doing it in his native language. I get it. I get why it's happening. I just don't like that it's happening. So
yeah, like, I feel like it would be better if he was... I mean, there is one sketch that'll come on later where I feel like he was a little bit better. And that's because he wasn't the focus of it. He was like more of the straight man. And somebody else was... kind of taking the wheel, but you know, we'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
They let him drive a lot of sketches.
They really did. As like, he can't,
which
he can't,
maybe was not the best choice.
He can't drive, baby. He can't do this. And
sit in the passenger seat.
Yeah, it's okay. Treat it like an Uber. We'll get you home.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sketch, I feel like it's just gonna age like milk. It's just like a whole bunch of, you know, things that are happening in the zeitgeist that's happening in the moment, and then like. Maybe like a couple months from now, people will be like, oh, yeah, I remember that happened. Yeah.
Like you said, this is going to age like milk.
Yeah. So, So 3 for 3 in the way of sketches. Not great. Next up, our musical guest, Doja Cat.
Doja Cat. She did two numbers, as SNL musical guests are wont to do. First number, Amen, in all caps. Mm-hmm. Second number, Gorgeous.
The first
number, it really struck me because she's like sampling the Knight Rider theme.
Yeah. True.
So I'm just hearing this, and I'm just hearing in my head a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. I'm just thinking about David Hasselhoff now.
Yeah.
So, because I'm a Gen Xer, and when I hear that music, that's where my brain goes.
Just sliding across the hood, Kit getting in. You know,
did he slide across the hood?
Maybe I'm thinking
about that was more of a Dukes of Hazzard thing.
You know what? I am thinking about Duke. I'm sorry. I'm getting my white male car drivers shows mixed up.
See that you don't. Okay.
Apologies.
Yeah, the Duke would slide across the hood, and they had to climb in through the doors.
Yeah, because the doors,
the
like,
windows, because the doors would never open for reasons I don't understand.
Yeah, that seems super dangerous. Growing up,
it kind of does. Yeah, that does seem like a safety hazard.
It really does. Oh, yeah. It's hazard.
That's hazard.
That's what you did there.
Hazardous in more ways than one. Am I right?
Doja Cat. She was right.
Yeah, I mean. I get it. Very flamboyant, charismatic performer. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. rapper, singer. I saw maybe flashes of a little bit, maybe some little Lady Gaga, a little Cardi B, and
I can see that. Yeah.
Nicki
Minaj.
See both of
those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
if you put those all three of those into a blender, you'd probably get something like Doja. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe you got yourself a stew going.
You got yourself a stew going. Thank you, Carl Weathers.
Yeah. I don't have too many notes about that.
Yeah. Second number, she was like sitting in a flower. I think she was like sampling her voicemail.
Possibly. I guess it's a new way to.
It sounded like a voice message in the middle of the song. I was like, okay, what's going on here? I don't know. The second number I liked way less than the first because.
Yeah,
the first one samples the Knight Rider theme. Second one, I just thought was like a dull song that went on way too long.
Yeah, the second song needed to sample another Gen Xer TV show from the 80s. Like,
give me a little A-Team. Give me a little Silver Spoons. Give me some Airwolf. Give me something to latch onto.
Some Sledgehammer.
Give me something that reminds me of my youth. That is all I'm looking for, people.
Yes. Simon and Simon.
I'm not going to get through this midlife crisis on my own.
Remind me of the past when times were better.
Remind me of when I was young and vital.
My youth, where have you gone?
Weekend update. Weekend update.
Guy
Michael Che.
Are
you amazed as I am that it's still these two doing it? I thought for sure we would get a new Weekend Update team this season. I would have bet money on it. And thank God I didn't, because I would have lost all that money.
I would have bet the farm that they would have left after 50.
And you don't even own a farm.
Yeah, no. I would have bought an ant farm and bet that.
Yes.
The only farm I
Which
could
is
afford.
Somewhat less impressive, but yeah. I would still, you would be out of one ant farm.
I would have bought the Alien Ant Farm CD and bet that. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Anyway, weekend update. They're still doing it. Well over a decade. They're still
doing it. Still doing it. They have not left yet. They enjoy that job security.
They're squatters at the update desk at this point.
Have to pry that desk from their cold, dead hands.
I guess so. I don't know what's going on, man.
They're the Keaton Thompsons of the weekend update.
They kind of are. It's just, yes. All the people who left were people I would not have bet on leaving.
Yeah.
And there are people who stuck around who I'm just like, really? You're keeping that one? Or I really thought this person was out the door, but okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
I
haven't been running a successful late night comedy show for 45 years, so what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but they still got some good jokes. Che mm-hmm. had the joke about how the generic abortion pill was approved before the shutdown. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a joke for it, but you know, whenever he mentions a product on the air, they could send him a box of free. So, you know,
yep, hey. I wrote that one down. Yeah, just had a joke about, you know, he went to lots of protests over the summer, but it paid off because they got the old Cracker Barrel logo back.
Yeah.
And he also joked about how it was his grandfather who posed for it. So
seems about right. Yeah. You know, the passing of Jane Goodall happened and the family asked in lieu of sending flowers that the people please throw feces.
Mm-hmm. They had an interesting thing where they had Chloe Fineman doing her Jennifer Coolidge voice reading a Trump speech about Obama walking downstairs. It is as strange as it sounds.
Yeah.
It was funny though.
It was funny, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's just doing it, you know, just voicing over actual footage of Trump. Might have been funnier if Chloe actually came out as Jennifer Coolidge and did the speech, but I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I guess they were going for the juxtaposition between the Coolidge voice and the Trump footage, but...
Yeah, they just wanted to get that that visual up there, I guess. But you know, they still got jokes. They still make me laugh. I can't hate on it too much, but
I do enjoy them. I'm just ready for something different because it's been just a long time with this team, and we can update. And I just want to change things up.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it used to be exceptional if weekend update anchors would stay for, you know, 5 or 6 seasons, and these guys have been on there more than twice that. So I feel like it is time for a change.
Absolutely. Let's. It's time for a change.
Yeah. It's time to rearrange.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. You knew what I was going for, John, and I looked for it.
Yeah. We'll look around and do it. I don't remember the lyrics of that Brady Bunch song.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But next up, we got the death segment from one of the new guys, no relation, Cam Patterson.
Cam Patterson, no relation. Talking about Diddy, because Sean Combs was sentenced this week. Mm-hmm. To what was it, like 50 years, something like that?
No, I thought it was like 4
years. No, wait. Yeah, it was only a few months, right? 50 months, right?
It's like 4 years. Yeah, he got off super late.
Yeah.
But Cam Patterson doesn't want to talk about
Diddy. No relation.
No relation. Cam doesn't want to talk about Diddy. He wants to know, when can he say the N-word? Like, when you going to let me loose? I feel shackled to this desk.
Yeah, because he's like, I've been on this show for 45 minutes now, and this is about 45 minutes into the show. And he's like, when am I going to get to see the N-word? He had a very Chris Rock-style delivery, I noticed.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's already sort of establishing himself as, like, the loose cannon, the wild card of the crew. Like, almost like Tracy Morgan, Chris Rock energy, you know.
If Chris Rock and Tracy Morgan had a kid, if science had figured out a way to have that happen.
Yes, exactly.
It might result in something like Cam Patterson, no relation.
Exactly, yes. We got to say that every time. But Cam with his big, you know, Sideshow Bob hair and some of the brightest teeth I've ever seen on a person. Like his teeth game is on point.
I did not notice the luminescence of his teeth. He's
got chompers. He's got a Cheshire smile.
Okay. I mean, I was very so-so on this passage. It's kind of a funny idea, but I just didn't think his delivery was very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I might even go so far as to say he's ruined the name of Patterson for me.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of heavy lifting now I got to do.
Like when I hear the last name Patterson now, it has a negative connotation.
Hashtag not all Pattersons, John. Okay.
I mean, I feel very, very bad about people in comedy with the last name of Patterson.
Oh boy.
I just don't feel it's right. I feel like we should drive them out of comedy.
If there's any performers out there with the last name Trumbull, can you please audition to SNL within the next few months so I don't have to I don't have to do all the heavy lifting and lift my good name at the muck.
So I don't know. Are you looking more forward to more from Cam Patterson? No relation.
Not necessarily. Like he seemed a little stiff, maybe a little nervous doing this.
He did. He definitely did have those first show jitters.
Yeah,
nervous energy.
Like at one point, he stumbled over his lines a little bit here and there. Yeah. Well, you know, which everybody nervous does. Mm-hmm. I kind of get a good sense of the person he's trying to be, like, you know, the wild card, like, oh, I'm gonna say the N-word, I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't really won me over yet.
No, he hasn't really won me over yet. I mean, at least I got an impression of him from this show, which is more than I can say for any of the new cast members so far, just because they haven't gotten to do much.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Brennan, I know he was in a ChatGPTO sketch, and I think he was.
If you say so. Okay.
I swear he was in it. I saw him.
All right. I take your word for it. I trust you.
Yeah. Jeremy Culhane. I mean,
he was in the cold open. Yeah.
And Veronica. Yeah. No real.
Veronica, she was in the Jeopardy sketch. So, I mean, they were there, but, you know, tough to gauge. Yeah. I'm still getting to know Ashley Padilla and Jane Wickline, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
But then we go to, Dobby the Elf, who is defending JT.
Dobby the House Elf, sir.
The House Elf, apologies.
Is the House Elf, because...
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that just sunk in for me.
Whoa,
too.
Wow. You just blew my mind.
J.K. Rowling, she's perhaps not as progressive as we once thought back in the 90s or early 2000s.
She just threw her whole reputation just right down the toilet there, didn't she?
It's like all she had to do was just keep her mouth shut on this one issue, and she would still be like the beloved children's author that she was for years and years and years. But she has just doubled down and be like, no, I'm going to be a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
And go all in on this anti-trans stuff.
People with horrible takes just need to make those horrible takes known. You will not silence them.
It's so weird. I don't get that drive.
I will shoot myself in the foot, and you will watch.
Yeah. But I liked how this monologue of Bowen as Dobby the House Elf from the Harry Potter books, he's commenting and he was calling Rowling out on some of her faux progressive stuff, like, you know, remember when Dumbledore was gay after the books came out and Hermione was black, but only on Broadway, and the character of Cho Chang was Asian? Really? The character Cho Chang was Asian? Huh. Okay.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it is a thing where, you know, Dobby the Elf, played by Bowen Yang, we should mention.
Yes. Yeah.
Like he does try to sort of, you know, show put in a few messages here and there, like talking about how.
Yeah, you know, I like that.
How people think house elves are always a problem, even though they're only 1% of the population. Like, I see what you did there. Like,
yeah.
and of course, we also, but probably the
1% of the population are like a good 40% of all newscasts these days.
Yeah. Oh boy, what a mess. But I feel like even though they had like a few messages like that slipping, I feel like the most thing people will remember from this is where we had a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction.
We did. When Bowen was hitting his head against the desk, and he was wearing like sort of this toga potato sack thing, mm-hmm. and it came loose at the shoulder, so it kind of like was hanging down, and he had to just sort of soldier on.
Yeah, so
we see Nip. We had a little wardrobe malfunction. Yeah, it was a real Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson moment there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in fact, even you know, at the end of the newscast, he kind of like turns around and the mics catch what he was saying to Colin and Che, where he was like Colin goes, "Yeah, we're seeing it all," and Che said, "You saw mine earlier," which was a callback to an earlier joke where he was talking about
Trans people in the movie.
Yeah, trans people, and he's like, "Yeah, but I couldn't resist getting like a sweet rack."
Yeah.
And then we have a nice Photoshop thing of Che with huge boobs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into that sort of thing, I don't know.
If that's your,
I'm not going to kink shame you.
Yeah, if that's your search engine. Hey, man,
that's your journey. Okay, yeah,
go with God. But yeah, so overall weekend update, not the strongest, but again, like
I mean, weekend updates become very predictable in its own way.
Yeah, it has become a victim of its own success, I guess. Where they hit the same beats and do the same thing. It's just like, yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it is time we get some new blood.
Yeah, I feel like it's just time for those guys to leave the nest, and I think it would be good for the show to change up Weekend Update, even if it's rough going at first, because I feel like Jost had a very rough start.
Yeah.
On Update, I was very down on him like the first year or so he was at the desk. I mean, I came to like him, but I feel like it is time to pass the baton.
It is. I'd agree with you. Even though I do still enjoy their jokes and their banter and all that stuff, it's starting to feel like, yeah, I enjoy it, but at the same time, it's kind of predictable.
Yeah.
I feel like we're not a rut, but
we're getting in the rut neighborhood. We're in hailing distance of a rut.
Yeah, exactly.
So Absolutely. It's just like, yeah. So I'd like to see them leave the stage before we're just like, oh God, these guys again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. But next sketch, Inventing Spanish.
A sketch carried by Bad Bunny and Marcelo Hernandez? What?
Por qué? Ay!
So, yeah, this is like flashing back to back in the day when they were inventing the Spanish language. And
The Iberians.
Unfurls a scroll, and he's like, hey, here's the thing with Spanish. Every word is a boy or a girl.
Morning is a girl, la mañana, night is a boy,
night is also a girl, and
but I feel like, different. I feel like with this one, like, Bad Bunny is sort of anchoring, but Marcelo's helping a lot more. I feel like at this point they realize, oh, he can't really anchor his guest, so Marcelo getting. I feel like Marcelo's doing some of the heavy lifting here.
Yeah, I felt like performance-wise, this was one of Bad Bunny's better sketches, honestly. I thought he was decent in this one.
Because he's not like the focal point. He's not doing a lot of the heavy lifting here.
Yeah, I guess so. But I thought his performance in this was like light years better than what we saw in the donor sketch K-pop Demon Hunters, where just the pacing was off. Here, I felt like he was functioning how he had to, or how he was supposed to, I should say.
Yeah. We have Mikey Day as the delegate from Barcelona.
Barcelona. He's sort of saying everything with a bit of a lisp, and he gets beheaded, and we see an eerily good Mikey Day severed head.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
It's disturbing, and do we have severed heads for every cast member?
At this point,
we probably do. Ooh. I mean, I know we have a few for Sarah.
Yeah, for sure.
We saw her head in a refrigerator last season, so.
Yeah, she stayed keeping having severed heads.
Yeah. I mean, if she could like sever her own head and then like put it back on for the next episode, I have no doubt that woman would do it.
Ooh, detachable heads.
Yeah.
Dream.
She would be the pioneer in that area, but yeah. Eerily good Mikey head. So kudos to the SNL makeup department.
Absolutely. And then we get one of the most random cameos I think we might have ever had on a show. Benicio del Toro comes out
Benicio del Toro comes out, and I was like, oh, that's why we had the gratuitous mention of one battle after another earlier in the show.
Yeah. Oh,
got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Got it. There we go.
Well, come on. You'll like plug your movie, but we won't plug it in this sketch because, you know, that would seem crass and
clever.
But we'll plug it in another sketch, and then you'll come on, and then everybody at home will say, I like that Benicio del Toro. I'm gonna go see him in that new movie of his.
Come on.
With that Leonardo DiCaprio dude guy.
Come on.
I like him.
Come on, go watch that one battle after another.
Yeah. I don't like that Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite movie auteurs.
He is an auteur. Yeah. He is the author of his movies. It's just him and Quentin Tarantino.
Yep. Southern Cinephiles, next.
Southern Cinephiles, our new character.
Now, I'll tell you what. I've been seeing these A24 movies. And have you seen them on the Criterion Collection? Ooh-wee!
I just got the Criterion Collection. I just got the one from This Is Spinal Tap, which is spine number 12. So it's real early in the Criterion Collection, and I just love them fake rock stars. They are so funny. This one goes to 11. That shit cracks me up.
See, the aspect ratio on this one's a little bit different right here because you get more of the screen more than you do with the wide screen.
Have you listened to it with the commentary? The commentary is incredible. Excuse me. Had to spit my tobacco into the spittoon. But
Southern Cinephiles. Bam, we did it.
The new recurring character on the SNL Nerds.
That's right. Oh, you think because they have Southern accent they can't be cultured in the world of cinema?
That's on you. That's your prejudice right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The hell are we talking about? Oh yeah, this sketch. Yeah, it's a.
Yeah, we just went on a tangent that was more entertaining to me than this.
We did it.
Yeah.
But then the sketch kind of ends, and this again another pretty weak sketch, I thought.
Yeah, it's trying. I think I read this in Dennis Perkins' review of the episode over on Late Nighter, which you should all read, by the way. Mm-hmm. Because Dennis is a good critic, great writer.
Yes.
And yeah, he thought they were going for a bit of a Washington's Dream sort of thing.
Where for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Pointing out like, oh, hey, isn't this thing we take for granted actually really kind of weird because it doesn't make any logical sense? And just nowhere in the same wake as Washington's Dream, either one of those sketches.
Yeah. They're like, oh, in Spanish, things are named either boys' names or named have masculine things or feminine. Yeah. And it's like, all right, I know that's a thing.
That's an observation, yes.
Is it interesting enough for an entire sketch?
Not really, no.
No. It's more of like, oh, okay, yeah.
That's like a, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
That's mildly interesting.
I see what y'all were doing there.
I think it was an attempt, but it didn't really bring it home for me.
Yeah, well, see, what y'all were trying to do, you're trying to make a callback, you see, to Washington's Dream, because one, you sort of look at the words and realize, like, oh.
And you're talking about measurements and like, how our units of measurements aren't really consistent in a system the way, like, the metric system is. Like, them Europeans, they got to figure it out. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, I see, like, your comedy is sort of, it's a little bit derivative, if y'all don't mind me saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a little bit of Jim Downey and of course, Franklin and Davis, you know, what we can go into the weeds about that all live long day.
Yeah, yeah.
Southern Cinephiles
have become like the Southern comedy geeks.
Yes. They do it all.
They're very perceptive.
Absolutely.
Next, parent-teacher conference.
This one was written by Allison Gates, Ali Levitan, and Kent Sublett.
Okay. So we got Marcelo. He's a young boy. He's in trouble. He's in trouble at school. He's got his teacher, played by Mikey. Dismukes. Sorry. We got Ashley Padilla as his principal. Nice to see her showcased in the sketch. Hope she gets more opportunities now that the female cast is a little bit thinner this season. So, you know, love to see Ashley stepping up in the sketch. She's the principal. They call in his parent, played by Bad Bunny. Ashley falls in love with Bad Bunny as soon as he enters. She's just like, oh, she is smitten. Yes. She's just overcome.
Like as soon as he steps in, she says, oh, hi. And she says, hi. And he says, hello. And she laughs uncontrollably.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, she's just, just the sheer sexual magnetism. Good idea for a sketch because, you know, it brings him in. It uses his charisma and his handsomeness and all that, which, you know, he has in abundant supply, but it lets the performers carry the sketch.
Yes, this was the sketch I was talking about, where, like, he's more the straight man, and mm-hmm. Ashley is the one anchoring it, and she's...
This is 100% Ashley's sketch, yes. and she knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I really like her performance in this. She's, like, more... She's adept, and, mm-hmm. you know, you can, she's I don't know. It was a really good performance. You can see she's mm-hmm. like kind of knows how to do expressive things with her face.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment where she asks him, "Is there a Mrs. Seymour?" Because, you know, Bad Bunny's character's last name is Seymour. Is he's like, "Oh no, she left us," and she goes, "Oh, bitch."
Yeah.
And said, "No, actually, she died."
Yeah, I mean, she turns on a dime. It's great. I feel like the pacing of the sketch, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
But I thought Padilla's performance, Ashley's performance, was enough to really rescue this. So if I had to pick a sketch of the night, I feel like it's a pretty weak lot, but this would be my pick for sketch of the night, I would say.
I would agree as well. Like, I really like her performance in this. I feel like she needs to, once she's in a better written sketch, then mm-hmm. I really think we're going to see her cook. Like, she was able
and
to take
when,
the sketch.
Well, like, when she gets a recurring character she can sink her teeth into, yeah, I mean, she's a, like, future star material, I think.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, this is like one of the sketches where Bad Bunny takes the back seat, Ashley drives it, you know, she has such an expressive face. Like,
she
when,
does,
like,
yeah.
When, after, like, when Bad Bunny's character's like, no, our wife, you know, she died, then she waits a beat, and then she goes, oh, well, then the bitch is I. Like, just that,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And she, like, really sells
and it. I like when she's, like, pulling out the disturbing sketches that Marcello's character made, and because she's, like, into his dad, she's, like, excusing them all, and they're, like, things like, oh, here's a drawing of him cutting my head off with a chainsaw. Here he's beating me with a bat. But that's okay. He's really doing this inoffensive thing.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like...
I think we should be calling that kid's parents in, because... that his drawing skills are just, like, way out of proportion with his age. That's like a 6 to 8 year old's drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the more disturbing thing. Like, you still draw like this?
Yeah, you should put him in a remedial class. Yeah. That's how he's drawing.
Yeah, dude, you're like in high school. Why are you drawing like this?
Yeah, I'm just like, this is off.
Yeah, where'd you get crayons?
Exactly.
Everybody's using pens and paint.
Get a Sharpie or something.
Yeah, some craypaws. Come on, man. but yeah, I would say sketch of the night for sure.
Yeah.
So the final sketch, I feel like I might need to take the reins on this one, because, like, I...
Feel free.
No,
yeah.
Just because, you know, I... No offense, I saw this sketch, and in my mind I thought, I don't think... There's no way John knows, like, this... I feel like this might have confused you.
I don't know if I'm complimented or insulted by that. I don't. So I understand that this was based apparently on a real Spanish language children's show. We're talking about El Chavo de Ocho.
Yes.
English version. That's what it's dubbed on YouTube.
Yes. So I mean,
Kid from Number 8 in Spanish.
Exactly. Like, I recognize this because, you know, as most people know, I have some Latino blood running through my veins, and, like, uh-huh. This is a show I did see a lot growing up, you know.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, yeah, well, right. I saw it from time to time, like, basically it's this.
And you were like, John will not know or appreciate this because he's super racist.
I didn't say that at all.
Right. No, but the implication was there.
Well,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. But no, yeah. All right, so El Chavo del Ocho is this show from that aired from 73 to 1980. And it was a huge hit. It was a Mexican television sitcom. And it was a huge hit in the Latino community. Like, basically, if you were in the Latino community, you saw the show growing up. And then they would show reruns throughout the 80s and 90s.
Right. So it just bores itself into your brain because you've seen it so many times.
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, I remember seeing this at my grandmother's house growing up and whatnot. So it is one of those things. In the Latino culture, you mm-hmm. know this show. So when they... did this sketch, which is basically a beat-for-beat recreation of an episode of El Chavo mm-hmm. de Ocho, where they tell the same jokes that they would have tell in that show, and they did it all in Spanish. In my mind, I was like, a lot of people are not going to get this. A lot of people are going to be really perplexed by this.
I think the difference between this and, like, say, the K-pop Demon Hunter sketch, though, is I think this was absurd enough that it could be funny in and of itself.
Okay.
I think K-pop Demon Hunter's much more dependent on you being familiar with the thing they're parodying.
Okay.
And I didn't really feel that handicap to this one. We did lots of things, like, you know, Sarah's getting a pie in the face a couple times. I did feel like this is the sort of sketch where they're more amusing themselves than they're amusing us, the audience.
Yeah. I can see that.
So I would rate it down that, but I definitely rate it above, like, the K-pop Demon Hunters.
Because
I felt like they were having fun, and I think the performances were kind of endearing. So.
I think I'd go with that. Yeah, just because this is a big swing, I think. Just to do, hey, we're going to do this beat-for-beat recreation of this Mexican sitcom from the 70s and 80s that only Latino people are familiar with. And we're going to tell the same jokes. We're going to do the whole beats. Like everything's going to be exactly the same. That's a really big swing, because you kind of run the risk of alienating a lot of your audience.
If you can't get weird in your last sketch of the night, then, I mean, when can you?
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. I was just afraid, like, the sketch would, like, a lot of people would be alienated by it. Like when a sketch that they've done, the Sabado Gigante sketch, the game show sketch, they still had the, hapless American.
The confused white person.
Yeah. So
like,
that act.
I'm sorry. Paul Rudd or Nate Bargatze. I'm sorry. I don't speak Spanish.
Exactly. And
what's,
that would act.
Going on?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. And that would act as, like, the audience's, like, way into the sketch. Whereas this one, there's no way in. It's all. That's true. It is
completely from a Latino point of view.
Exactly. But for that big swing, I kind of got to tip my hat to them just for having the ball to do that. I guess that was it. Like, I was wondering, what is John thinking about this right now?
So it gets your Latino stamp of approval.
See,
is what you're saying.
See.
Okay.
Arriba. Okay. And that's the episode.
Overall, pretty dire.
Yeah. I mean, we've said it before, and we've said, like, the first episode after a long break is always the ugly pancake of the episode.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor.
It's always the end part of the
look. Like, oh, why does this one look like the Millennium Falcon? What the hell's going on? What the? Yeah.
It goes 57 prosecs. 57? I don't know. But yeah, it's the first episode is always the end part of the loaf of bread. It's never the best part.
Give us more food metaphors, please.
I'm so hungry.
Did you skip dinner tonight? What's going on, Darren? Everything okay?
No, everything's fine. Everything's great.
Okay, all right. Am I feeding you enough? I take that back. You do most of the cooking in your household, don't you?
I do, I'm a bit of a chef wizard. Yeah.
You are.
I know how to reheat some leftovers.
Every time we sign off, Darren's like, oh, I got to go grocery shopping. Oh, I got to cook dinner. I got to So I get the feeling that you do most of the cooking in the Patterson household.
I'm a regular Julia Child.
Yeah.
So like the first episode of After a Break is usually not the best. Last season it was the Gene Smart episode. Not the best season. Yeah, and this is no different. It's them getting their footing, getting their sea legs. Not great, but it's
not the greatest choice of host, honestly. So
yeah, honestly, the only thing that really kind of sparked something in me is Padilla's performance. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that was the highlight of the show for me. Did you notice that, like, we only saw Jane Wickline during the Good Nights, and I don't think Ben Marshall popped up anywhere before the Good Nights either.
Ben Marshall, oh no, he was in that ChatGPTO.
Oh, okay.
And he was in the Inventing Spanish. He was the executioner that chopped off.
Jane Wickline was just.
Jane wasn't there. No, Jane was.
Yeah, she was, like, pictured on a milk carton in her sketch, I think.
Have you seen me?
Yes. I am honestly amazed that Jane Wickline escaped the axe of.
I am.
Over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have theories. They say she's. I hear the word Nepo baby being tossed about. But I don't know. And I think they've also said she has.
Is she a Nepo baby?
I think she. I don't know. I got to look more.
I mean, I knew she was, like, big on YouTube or TikTok or whichever.
Yeah,
it was,
she has a big following on the TikTok. So maybe that's why they kept her around, or I don't know. Who knows why?
But does she have notable parents?
I believe so. I think I mentioned like one of her parents was a writer or something. I mean, I know that doesn't. I mean, writer doesn't mean that much, but.
I didn't know this, or I'd forgotten this.
Here we go.
Future cast member. Her mother is Marcy Hardart, a pediatrician who previously worked as an assistant to SNL creator and producer Lorne Michaels, and as a manager at MTV. Her father is Matt Wickline, a former writer for Late Night with David Letterman and In Living Color.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, so a nepo baby.
Yeah, there it is.
I mean, her mom worked as an assistant to Lorne Michaels, which I did not realize.
Yeah, so. That's...
okay. Okay.
There it is. Welcome. Welcome to the harsh realities, people.
Okay.
But, right. Hey, what do our listeners think? What do our fans think? Let's go to the blue skies.
Let's get into this. Let's get into this. Yeah, we got comments. You know, people, it's a season premiere. People have opinions.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got Nick at nickstore.with two R's at bluesky.social. The first three live sketches all seem to be, here's the joke. The sketches will write themselves. They didn't.
Ooh.
The gender sketch was a Washington Dream sketch without the delivery of Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Yeah, Nate Bargatze's sketch delivery put the Washington Dream sketch into the stratosphere. Also, with less female cast members, let's see more Ashley.
Yay!
Here's to bumpy starts.
I mean, people have said that like now there's only two females in the main cast, and the other three are
feature players.
Are feature players? Yes, and that's not the best look. You can see it too, like
especially since you know Ego, who is like the lone African American cast member, leaves the show, and
it's as wide as Salt Lake City now for the ladies.
Yeah, and then we're like, hey, we got all five new people, and they're all white. Yay! Because it's still very much like the show is more diverse than it used to be, but it is still very much the default is let's get all these white people, and then maybe some people from other backgrounds as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
if we have enough time,
if we have room, if Keenan doesn't want to do something that week,
exactly. If Keenan doesn't want to wear a wig and a dress, we'll find. Yeah, exactly. Our good friend Lee Hot the Lion saying, "Hey guys, happy first day of school. I feel that Bunny was better this time around than last." And the second half of the show was smoother. I already wasn't the biggest fan of Chloe, but now I'm still not.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah, a lot of people are cooling on Chloe, I've noticed. Overall, enjoyed it, unless you guys didn't. Love you guys.
have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah, don't let us sway you, sir. Don't be a weather vane.
Let us dictate your reality.
Yeah, don't be a weather vane to what we say. Love you guys, and here's to year eight of the pod. Thank you.
Woo! Thank you. Yay. We could have put like a kid through high school and college.
Yeah, we could have.
If either of us had kids and if either of us could have afforded to send them to school.
Yeah.
But they could have flunked out by now. Yay!
Yay! Hip hip hooray. Next up, we got Carmel Pretzlaw saying, I confess I haven't watched the full episode yet, but the sketch about making Spanish more difficult with girl and boy words was relatable. My Spanish-speaking bandmates loved it too. I hated the sketch where Bad Bunny plays the hot dad, who the teacher gets all foolish over. Predictable.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right.
And lastly on Blue Sky. Oh, no, wait. We have one more after this because it was a quote.
Yes.
But this, in our comments, this... Whistlerette says, Colin Jost is a better Secretary of War than Hegseth. Ooh.
You're here.
Yeah, not a high bar to clear, but okay.
No, not at all. Bars on the floor. And then we got a message from Jeremy Diamond. No relation to Neil, I assume. Saying, episode one in the wake of a huge cast and writer's shakeup, and it felt it every second. Sketches were discordant. / abrupt endings, minimal use of the new cast, even weekend update was weak. And that Cam guy is a disaster waiting to happen.
You mean Cam Patterson, no relation, right?
No relation, no relation, no relation. I don't know him. I don't know him.
He's denied him three times, people.
Never seen him before in my life.
Yeah.
Never seen that sideshow bob-haired fella.
You got any wigs at home, dear?
I mean, why do you ask?
Just asking. Just wondering. Okay. Just asking questions. People are saying. People are saying stuff.
People are saying I'm actually Cam Patterson in disguise. Is that what people are saying?
You said it. I didn't.
Like an alter ego? Like I? No. What do you? That? Oh, no. I don't know what you're talking about. Because you've never seen.
I don't see you on Saturday nights.
You've never seen Cam Patterson and me in the same room at the same time.
This is true. This is true.
All right. I don't know what to say. I know what to say. And I do wear glasses, much like Clark Kent. And Cam Patterson doesn't.
So, yes.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Connect the dots.
Remove your glasses. Change your hairstyle.
That's right.
Do the words Kill Tony mean anything to you?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yes, I do work at the Daily Planet. That is another thing, too. So.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Just asking questions.
All right.
Those are our thoughts on the season premiere of SNL. Not great. Hey, nowhere to go about. Next week, we got Amy Poehler. We got a favorite alum coming back to host the show. To show everybody how it's done.
Hell yeah.
We've got the first episode out of the way. We've shaken the rust off.
Yes.
Let's get down to business now. Let's have Amy Poehler in here just to show us how it's done.
Fuck yeah. Show these young whippersnappers how to put on a goddamn show.
Let's get some parks and recreation good hang energy up in this bizatch.
Hells yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. Amy Poehler came here to do sketches and take names and chew bubblegum and whoop ass. And she's all out of bubblegum. What else did I say?
Needs a bit of a rewrite.
That was the first draft.
I found it a little wordy, honestly.
Did you download? You should download Final Draft and, you know.
I think just run it through a second draft and just like take out every other word and then see if that's maybe a little more succinct.
Yeah, you know, maybe you get a little lost in the weeds with the hyperbole there and the sentence structure.
Yeah, run it by your writers group. You know, see what they have to say. They have some valuable feedback sometimes.
Southern Cinephiles.
Southern Cinephiles. Sometimes Southern screenwriters.
They do it all. They're cultured.
Yeah. So anyway, who's the musical guest with Amy Poehler? I'm forgetting.
Role model. I have no idea who that is or if that's a band or one person, if it's a robot. It's an AI program. I don't know what it is.
It could be all those things and more. We don't know. We won't know until next Saturday. There's no way for us to find out.
Nope.
No way. Just no. But I honestly prefer like just discovering people on the show and not trying to do like a whole lot of research.
Yeah, we'll see what we see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see what we see. We're already watching the show and taking notes and watching some sketches twice. Yeah, that's enough homework.
What more do you people want from us? Jeez.
That's right.
Good That's gravy. Right.
You know, you think we'll have another John Hamm cameo next week?
No.
He is buddies with Poehler.
He is, but they got to, like, space him out. They can't just have him on after they already
can't have too much ham all
too
at once.
Much, yeah, too much ham's not good for the stomach, man.
You get indigestion.
Yeah, we could get, I don't know, Maya, maybe? Maybe a Faye?
Maybe. I honestly think I said this last week, is I would love to just see Poehler fly solo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always lovely to see Maya and Tina come back too, but you know, I don't want them to like steal Amy Poehler's spotlight. I think Amy Poehler can definitely carry a show on her own. So
absolutely, some Poehler solo.
I think that'd be fun.
But yeah, either way, the prodigal daughter returns to SNL. Amy Poehler on the next.
Gonna kill that fatted calf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Slaughter it and drink its blood.
Yeah. Yet another reason to have John Hamm on the show, because, you know, we got the whole Hamm connection thing.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Anyway, join us next week where we'll cover the ups and downs of Amy Poehler and Role Model.
And that's the episode, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, you can follow us on Blue Sky at SNL Nerds. You could donate to our Patreon at non-productive.com. And you can follow us. We got a YouTube page. You can listen to all of these beautiful, beautiful episodes on our YouTube page. So just go there to Non-Pro.
And as non-productive.com on YouTube. Yes. It's got the entire archive of the podcast. Earlier in the episode, we mentioned our episode on Don't Think Twice, the movie. That was episode 146 with the guest Jackie Byrne. And if you're interested in hearing what we thought about the original Bad Bunny episode, that is episode 256 from October of 2023. So, yeah, check those out.
Yeah, and as always, you can follow me on all the social medias at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-A-N Credible.
And you can follow me on all the socials at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And yeah, check us out. We will be back next week with Amy Poehler and Role Model, and you'll get to hear everything we thought about that. I mean, will it be better than this week's episode? Will it be worse? Who knows? It's going to be better.
Yes. Nowhere to go but up.
Let's be real. It's going to be better. Come
on. Gotta.
Well, that's our episode for this week, folks. So thanks very much for listening. If this was your first time listening, we hope you come back. You know, it's a hoot. It's a hoot. We hope you had a hoot. So but join us next week. But until then,
nerds out.
Have fun editing that, Frank.
Frank is going to listen to this like, God damn it.
God damn it. They didn't even do it the same length.
Son of a bitch.
Fuck you.
Oh.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.